you have recently released Rock and Roll in Jihad. I would be pleased if you can tell us about this. Why did you choose this title, for example? I confess it is an eye-catching title, of course. But is there anything more you would like to say about it?
Why did I use the words rock and roll, a word from the West, and jihad, a word from the Muslim world and the East, is because my book, Rock and Roll Jihad, tells a story about East and West. And because I grew up in Lahore and then studied in New York, and then came back to study medicine in Pakistan during a military dictatorship, I feel that both these words describe my journey. Jihad being a word which has been hijacked by terrorists, but actually means to strive, to struggle, to find your purpose in life, to lift yourself up, to lift society up. And then rock and roll, which is also a word for freedom, social justice, and peace, in the way I saw it, being exemplified by John Lennon, Bob Dylan, U2. So both these words, on the face of it, seem, you know, incongruent, that they shouldn't be together. But in my life, in the story that I tell in Rock and Roll Jihad, you'll see how they work together.
I would say that you are a legendary musician, and compared to your fellow Pakistani artists, in many ways, your songs and style is different. You have, of course, millions of followers, and majority of them are young people. Tell me, please, what kind of message are you trying to get out there to the people through your music?
So the message in my music is of unity, peace, and also in my life, the word, you know, Junoon, the name of my band, Junoon, means passion, is to follow the passion in your heart. My passion was following music. Although I studied to be a doctor, but I listened to the whisper in my heart. And the whisper was saying, follow the path of music. So my message is to my that people who, you know, young teenagers, maybe young people who might have a passion to become a writer, or they might have a passion to become, you know, an artist, or, you know, a teacher or a scientist, follow the passion in your heart. That's the main message.
While you are taking part in many activities in Pakistan, you did not hesitate to give political statements as well. For example, you supported lawyers' movement against previous President Pervez Musharraf, and also sing a song about corruption, which led you into many troubles. Is there anything you do or planning to do to oppose the growing radicalism in the country through your music?
Well, you know, as I tell the story in the book, I believe arts and culture and artists, the responsibility is not just to make people happy or just to entertain them, but also to raise their awareness. And right throughout, you know, if you look at whether it was John Lennon or it was Bob Dylan or it was Bob Marley or Bob Geldof, or in the Muslim world, it was people like Baba Bulle Shah, a Sufi poet in the 17th century, Mulana Rumi, you know, the great Persian poet Rumi, or Amir Khusro. They were not just, you know, poets or, you know, spiritual people, but they also raised awareness in society. They promoted pluralism. They promoted coexistence. And they always spoke out against extremism. So when you say, you know, I spoke out, wrote a song about accountability, what I'm trying to say is that artists have the role to help reform society. Because if there's extremism in society, a nation will not unite. A nation will divide into deeper and deeper, you know, smaller, whether it's Shia, Sunni, or whether it's Balochi, Sindhi, or, you know, right and left. So the message is of unity, and I believe that the terrorists have hijacked the culture of Islam and the language of Islam. So we need to win back the culture and language of Muslim the Muslim community from the terrorists, who are a minority. So people need to unite against extremism.
Right. My question was whether are you practically taking part in any sort of activity that could oppose radicalism, growing radicalism in the country?
Yes. My wife, Samina, who is also a doctor, she and I have an organization called SSGWI. The website for this is ssgwi.org. And through this nonprofit organization, we promote cross-cultural dialogue, education. And through arts and culture, we plan to do many, many events, not only in Pakistan, but in the world as well. For this, for example, I am taking a part in a project called Not in My Game, which is promoting pluralism in sport. And I will be flying to the UK in September to do a week-long media tour, speak to college students, Muslim college students, and also I'm planning to put this message across in the cricket matches between Pakistan and England, because a lot of young people listen to music and watch sports. Right. So arts and culture is the best way to reach out to young people and take them away from radicalism, away from extremism, and you know, tell a message of unity in a fun way.
In 2008, you opposed a Pakistani accord with the Taliban. Now, similar discussions are being held to reconcile with the Taliban in Afghanistan. It seems West is not against it. What do you think about it?
Well, I'm very clear. I feel that the Taliban and their brand of Islam is not Islam at all. You know, Islam doesn't teach you to kill innocent women, children, and men. Islam doesn't teach you to commit suicide. So that's haram. So as long as the Taliban pursue a strategy of violence, you know, subjugation of women, destroying girls' schools, killing musicians, you know, I don't see how anybody can reconcile with that sort of a mentality and an ideology. So I'm very clear. The ideology of hate, the ideology of terrorism has no place in Islam or anywhere in the world, and I will continue saying that.
So, in your opinion, what is the way, what is the solution to deal with the radicals in Taliban in Pakistan?
Well, very clearly, we have to educate ourselves. I think the larger Muslim community, the Pakistani community in Afghanistan, need to know more about the true message of Islam, which is a message of peace, a message of unity, and a message of knowledge. You know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, urged Muslims to learn knowledge. There's a hadith which says he asked the Muslims to travel even to China to learn, seek knowledge. Now, in China, the only knowledge the Muslims were going to get was secular knowledge, not Islamic knowledge. So I believe that the way forward in countering extremism in the long term is to build more schools, both for girls and boys, to have more knowledge about faith and culture. That's why my book, Rock and Roll Jihad, you know, I am planning to translate that into Pashto and Urdu and other languages, so that you can see that, you know, I, as a Muslim and a Pakistani and an American, live in the modern world. I don't have to go hide in a cave. You know, I don't need to hate anybody who is not, you know, from my tribe. Right. That's the message that I've learned from Islam. And I think so long-term, moving forward, how do you counter radicalism? Well, through education. More communication.
If we come back to the music, you said you've grown up in Lahore, and you also call yourself a Sufi singer. And Data Darbar is one of the well-known centers of Sufis in South Asia. What do you think, why this shrine was bombed recently?
Yeah, I'm very clear that why the extremists and the terrorists want to destroy, you know, places of worship like, you know, Data Sahab, is because the message of the Sufi poets was of unity. You know, Qawwali, the style of Sufi devotional singing from the subcontinent, the message is a love for humanity and a love for God. And in that love for humanity, the Sufis brought together Muslims, Hindus, Sikh, Jain, people of all backgrounds and cultures in unity. Now, the extremists are afraid that if that message of Sufism, you know, gathers, you know, momentum, they will be marginalized because their message is of fear and division. So that's why they want to spread terror in these Sufi shrines. But I believe, look, for the last almost 1,000 years, right, it was the Sufi poets of the subcontinent which brought peace, unity, and prosperity to the subcontinent. And I believe that what the terrorists are trying to do right now, they will be defeated because the power of unity is far greater.
Some of the great Sufi musicians, such as Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, used to perform at this shrine sometime. Did you ever perform there?
My direct connection to going there is that when I was in college studying medicine in Lahore, right, we would go to Data Sahib because it's right near King Edward Medical College. Yeah. I met my wife in medical college, and for our nikah, we went to Data Sahib. Every family celebration, you know, any important occasion, we would always go to Data Sahib. And even when I was first starting out as a musician, I went there. So it's not like, you know, that by blowing up, you know, killing innocent people, the terrorists will be able to, you know, keep us away from going to places like Data Sahib. You know, Ali Hujwari was one of the greatest, most learned scholars of Islam. And his legacy of the last 900 years in the subcontinent far outweighs the threats of terrorism from these thugs masquerading as holy men.
Radicals, as you said, certainly do not like music, and your case is especially interesting because not only you are a singer, but we have seen you organizing concerts to raise funds for victims of 9/11. By the way, why you have done this campaign?
So if I write in the book that because I graduated from medical school,
right,
I saw, you know, I went to Mayo Hospital in Lahore and saw firsthand the need for, you know, citizens, you know, just global citizens to help society. So when 9/11 happened, my wife and I organized support for Afghan refugees. Right. You know, because of the violence, so many refugees had come into Pakistan. So we organized this concert in Pakistan to raise funds for Afghan refugees, and then we also did a concert at the United Nations General Assembly. I'm a UN Goodwill Ambassador,
right,
and on UN Day in 2001, we did a concert to raise awareness against terrorism, that, you know, speaking out against terrorism. So I feel that, look, we live in an interconnected world. You can no longer say that because somebody, you know, dies in South America, I have no connection to it. No. We live in an interconnected world, and if I don't care for people from other cultures, then no one else will care for my culture and my faith either.
When you are in Pakistan, do you feel secure, or have you ever been receiving threats, for example?
Well, in the story in my book, so many times I've been given death threats. Recently, you know, 2 years ago, Junoon performed the first ever rock concert in Srinagar in Kashmir, and the militants said that if you land in Srinagar, we will shoot you on sight. But, you know, I realized that if I bow down to their threats of, you know, and their fear, basically they're winning. So I've never given in to them. And I take precautions where I go, but, you know, at the end of the day, the greatest security is God, you know?
Salman, Pakistan used to be seen very West-oriented country in the past, especially when compared to its neighbors like India and China. But at this stage, this picture has certainly changed. It looks like that radicals are everywhere. When did this Western-oriented picture of Pakistan has started changing? What went wrong in the country, and how it can be fixed?
Well, you know, as I write in the book, when I was a teenager, I grew up in a military dictatorship of General Zia-ul-Haq. And General Zia-ul-Haq was, ironically, an ally of the United States and the West, yet he was a religious extremist and a bigot. So by supporting religious extremists and bigots, you know, who had control of Pakistan for 11 years in a military dictatorship where you couldn't play any music on the radio, you couldn't play any music on the TV, you know, there was gender segregation. He he destroyed Pakistani culture and society. He asphyxiated arts and culture. And I believe that it's really very important that we don't make the same mistakes again by supporting religious bigots and extremists as head of states of countries. And so the way going forward is to support civil society, writers, doctors, teachers, men of letters, artists, who have a positive vision for Pakistan. It's not just westernized, but it's a hybrid culture, which is taking both modernity and tradition together. There is no room for bigots, extremists, and terrorists in Pakistan.
Are there enough moderate people to resist against radicals?
Well, the lawyers' movement, for example, was a huge social movement of Pakistan, which was primarily, you know, civil society. It was the lawyers supported by the media, by children studying in schools and colleges, and it was right across the country. There were no extremists or terrorists in the lawyers' movement. That is the power of Pakistani civil society, you know. And I feel that if you support civil society, and this is what my work through, SSGWI is planning to do. Samina and I, we say we want to support civil society in Pakistan because they are the people, right. You know, they are the nation, they are the true nation. You can't support a minority of religious extremists or terrorists, as in the case that General Zia was. And General Zia is an example for all times to come that Pakistan is not about extremism, because when his plane crashed, 11 years of military dictatorship ended, and when democracy took place, the people of Pakistan voted in the first ever female prime minister of a Muslim country in Benazir Bhutto, who was only 35 years old. But what it shows you is that people want modernity and change. People are not bigoted in Pakistan. It's only a small minority of extremists who are.
Salman, this is my last question, but an important question for me. Are you interested in choosing political career in the future?
Not at all, because I feel that my role is really the role of an artist. I believe that when you reform society, politics changes automatically. So there's no need to, I know my job. You know, the politics, the politicians should figure out what it means to sort of provide better services, human rights. My role is of a viewfinder and an artist.